Welcome to a Burning Fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. During the trials of Jesus, many people said many things. First one thing was heard, then another. Christ said he came into the world to bear witness of the truth. John 18:37, to this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. And when Jesus said this, Pilate asked, what is truth? In the midst of so much confusion, especially the chaotic conditions that exist in the religious world, with one shouting one thing, another contending for various points of view, Pilate's question is very appropriate for our time. Some would have us to believe that the only truth is that nobody can know the truth, or even that it does exist. They question even that. They teach that everything is relative and nothing is absolute, and therefore nobody can say anything is true and be sure about it. Well, this doctrine carries the concept that there is no right or no wrong, no good, no bad, except as each might feel it for himself and for herself. The fundamental flaw of such a philosophy is that it is so self-contradictory. If there is no truth, how can we be sure it is true that there is no truth? If nobody can be certain about anything, how can anybody be certain that nobody can be certain? If there is no right or wrong, how can we know we are right and not wrong when we contend there is no right or wrong? My dear listening friend, isn't it obvious? Any position that shoots itself in the heart is not deserving of acceptance among intelligent people. The Bible affirms that there is truth, and truth can be known, and it can be known to be the truth. In 1 Timothy 4 and verse 3, it is evident that Paul believed people could know the truth. Hebrews 10 and verse 26 teaches that people can receive the knowledge of the truth. Jesus said in John 8:32, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Now let us consider some other passages that show us certain things about truth, and let it be magnified and exalted in our thinking. To answer Pilate's question, Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, John 14:6. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is the demonstration, he is the example, the very personification and source of truth. John 1 and verse 17, for the law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Christians were sanctified, they were set apart from the world, into the service of God, and cleansed from sin by the truth. And that truth is the Word of God. Jesus prayed, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. John 17:17. Truth is said to be the fruit of the Spirit. In Ephesians 5 and verse 9, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. The Holy Spirit was promised to the apostles that he would guide you into all truth. John 16:13. Truth is revealed by deity, by the Holy Spirit, through the apostles Jesus had chosen for that task. In John 3:3-5, it teaches the necessity of being born again. And James 1 and verse 18 tells us we are begotten with the word of truth. Well, friend, if there is no truth, there surely cannot be a new birth. 1 Peter 1:23 shows that we are born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the Word of God, which we have already noted is the truth. The verse preceding declares how ye purified your souls in obeying the truth. Truth exists. They knew it. They understood it. They recognized it. They obeyed it. 2 Thessalonians 2:13 teaches that we are chosen to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. 2 Corinthians 6:4-7 declares we are approved servants of God by the word of truth. The truth is the measure and the standard by which we can know. Consider a few other scriptures to impress upon us the presence and the reality and the obtainability of truth. 3 John 4, John said he had no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. We're admonished to hold fast to the truth. 1 Corinthians 5:8, 2 Corinthians 13:8. Well, how could anybody do that if truth is not ascertainable, obtainable, and in existence? When Paul preached, he preached truth. Acts 26:25, he spoke words of truth and soberness. We spake all things to you in truth. 2 Corinthians 7:14. Well, this is enough, so let us go forward. Any consideration of the subject of truth must take note that not everybody is going to believe and obey the truth. Is this not very evident both in the scripture record and in our own observation of the world? Jesus said in John 8:45-46, "And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me?" 2 Peter 2:2, "And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of." Romans 10:16, "But they have not all obeyed the gospel." Galatians 3:1, "O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth?" Dear friend, it is quite evident everybody is not even going to believe the truth. Even church members do not always want the truth on some subjects. In Romans 2:8, it speaks of those who are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness. 2 Timothy 3:8 tells us of some who resist the truth. They even fight against it. Paul warned of others who would turn away from the truth. 2 Timothy 4:4. They preferred teachers who would tickle their ears rather than teachers to teach them the truth. And so many prefer what they want rather than what they need. Standing by the truth can indeed win you enemies. Paul said, "Am I become your enemy because I tell you the truth?" Well, it is obvious that the answer to the apostle's question among some is a strong affirmative. John 8:40, "But now ye seek to kill me," Jesus said, "a man that hath told you the truth." Even so, the church has as its primary mission the work of upholding and proclaiming the truth. The church is to be the pillar and the ground of the truth. 1 Timothy 3:15. Furthermore, we are required to expose false ways. Ephesians 5:11 says, "And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them." When Paul encountered erroneous conduct, even from the leaders in the church, he said he did not give place to such a thing, no, not for an hour, Galatians 2:5. Some seem to never learn that opposing error is upholding truth. With this vast array of passages before us, and there are numerous others that could be added, let us turn again to Pilate's question. What is truth? Did Pilate really want the truth? All people do not have a love for the truth, we've noted in 2 Thessalonians 2:10. Some receive not the love of the truth. They had no appetite for it. Did Pilate? He asked for truth, he heard the truth, but he rejected the truth. Was it because what he heard was not what he wanted to hear? It did not suit his situation at the moment, and so he rejected it? Did it leave him too obligated? Now, if he accepted truth, how would he get himself out of the dilemma that he was handling? The fact is, Pilate was seeking some expedient way to help himself, and the truth was not what he really desired. We see this in his cowardly act to wash his hands, as it were, from responsibility. His problem remained, however, because he could not so easily dismiss his duty. But let each one examine himself. Do we really fare differently from Pilate? Does the question offend you? We like to think we're different from that man, but there is no doubt that we are subject to making the same grave error Pilate made, but not really wanting to know what the truth is. When brethren do not attend to their own home congregation's gospel meetings and will not read good and sound biblical materials provided them, they won't even bother to learn regarding grave issues facing the church and the civilization and the family and young people, who act as if they are content in their ignorance and do not seem to want to know, is it unfair to ask the question, do they really want to know the truth? After a number of decades of preaching the gospel, I'm convinced that most of the world does not really want to know the truth. Dealing with some brethren has convinced me that many brethren do not want to know the truth. They won't keep themselves informed regarding the truth. I recall one brother who was endorsing a certain preacher, and when I tried to show him the man was teaching falsely, he would not even read the material provided him. Did he really want to know the truth? Acts 20 and verse 26, Paul said, I shrank not from declaring unto you the whole counsel of God. The Holy Spirit guide the apostles into all the truth. But do we want to know what they preached? In New Testament times, some wanted only a part of the truth. That's the part they had already obeyed, you see. The part that harmonized with what they were already doing. The part that soothed and pleased them. The part with which they already agreed. But the rest of the truth that contradicted their habits and their goals and their ambitions, that exposed their false doctrines and sins, that called on them to fill their responsibilities or anything that disturbed them, they really did not even want to hear it. Does this reflect an attitude of really desiring the truth? Now let me be more specific and offer a few examples. Regarding the nature of Christ, who was both human and deity at the same time, the truth declares that he was born of the Virgin Mary, that he performed miracles, was resurrected from the dead. Why is it that so much of the liberal, so-called progressive denominational world rejects these affirmations of Scripture? The same book that tells us anything of Christ affirms these things about him. Truth declares that there is one church, his body, composed of the saved, which is his kingdom, of which we must be members if we're going to live in heaven eternally. Why do people still contend that one church is just as good as another, or that you can be saved in any of them, or even none of them if you choose? Do such people love the truth? Do they really want the truth? The same question could be asked regarding the steps of salvation, the gospel plan of faith, repentance, confession, and baptism into Christ. Why is it that people think that this can be set aside and they can successfully follow their own way in their denominational creeds and disciplines and etc. and ignore God's way? Do they want the truth? And before we get too smug, having usually agreed that the above-mentioned matters are truth, how do we react to the teaching when it's offered regarding liberal giving? What do we say and do about God's pattern for discipline? How do we respond to the teaching against worldliness, including dancing and drinking and smoking and adultery and lying and immodesty? We do not have to ask what many brethren believe concerning faithfulness in worship. They've already demonstrated that truth does not move them. When we realize that the primary work of the church is evangelism and benevolence and edification, why is it that many can pinch the dollar regarding these things, but they have no hesitancy when it comes to paving the parking lot or replacing the kitchen or sponsoring Boy Scouts or ball games or gymnasiums or the so-called family life centers for fun and good times? What does truth mean to those who claim to be Christians when these matters arise? And while much of the world rots under pornography and abortion and drunkenness and adultery, some brethren still mouth about voting, obviously willing to surrender the whole world to the devil without even giving a legitimate weaponry at our disposal as responsible citizens to oppose the advance of moral degeneracy. If we are to be the salt of the earth, we ask again, should not truth receive more than just a convenient lip service? Now, I think these are hard, convincing, and convicting questions. But what is more important, whenever you study a lesson, or attend a class, or listen to a sermon, or read an article, you should ask, is it the truth I really want? Now, if it is, you will find it in the Scripture, and you should conform to it. Dear listening friend, it's hard to fight against truth. Acts 9 and verse 5, it is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 8 shows when we think we can oppose truth, the truth will not change. For we can do nothing against the truth but for the truth. God's truth does not and will not change, 1 Peter 1 and verse 25. Whether we want it, reject it, accept it, refuse it, believe it and obey it, the truth remains the truth. We must learn to want the truth more than anything else. Proverbs said, buy the truth and sell it not, chapter 23, verse 23. And this must be our watchword. Let us be like Samuel and say, speak, Lord, thy servant heareth. David said in Psalm 119, I have chosen the way of truth. Thy judgments have I laid before me. Let us know when we stand for God's truth We're standing for that which shall stand forever. Psalm 100, verse 5 says, "And his truth endureth to all generations." This has been A Burning Fire, and your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.